and welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, August 17th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 30, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on In-Game Chats, or you can find us at Twitter on In-Game. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. If you want to watch the show, go to twitch.tv. You can find us there and join us live in the chat room while we broadcast. See who's in the chat room real quick to start off the... Whoops, I hit the wrong button because it's different now. Okay, well, that's odd because it says Moltile's in the chat room. Well, it says Moltile just made a response, but he is actually not showing as being in the chat room. Just a few people so far. We'll let that grow and expand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. As you can tell, no Nate, no Matt. It is me and RJ this week, and it was almost no RJ.
Almost.
You what was going on that you remember?
There was a tournament in Auburn that I was thinking about going to, but then I saw the schedule, and it was a two-day event. And I didn't I thought it was going to be a one-day event, just go there one day and come back, but it was actually 2 days, so I wasn't prepped for that exactly. So I said, I may as well come to the show and make better preparations
what
for
is
it
the,
next
what was
time.
The event? What was the event?
The NDC annual video game tournament, fighting game tournament.
Oh.
Had some new fighters in there, Street Fighter V, yeah. Samurai Showdown. I think Soul Calibur and Smash was the roster, yeah. Yeah, taking place at the Auburn Lanes.
Do you know anybody who is there?
I think a few people from GT and around the Montgomery area was heading up there. Probably some folks out of town, too, was going up there as well.
Yeah, I've been looking over the PAX schedule, and there's a couple. Let us see. What did I put down? Now, this weekend, I'm going to cull the emails that I've gotten for making appointments to see games.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know what? I might do that on the show. And that sounds a little boring, but what I might do, I might need some help from you guys. I might throw these emails out here and say, I've got a game to see for this, for this, for this. And, you know, if you guys are like, hey, go look at that one, let me know. And I'll go do that. So that's just an idea, just hit me in the head. I have no idea of the validity of actually pulling that off. So, yeah, that's just me thinking out loud, basically. Now, as far as what PAX has on offer, let me go to my guides. Where are my schedule? That's what I want. So Friday is the main theater show with Gearbox, although I am tempted to not go to that. I've said this before. When you go to a Gearbox event, you usually get some free stuff, or sometimes you don't want to pass those up. This is not something I think that I'm going to – I don't know. Lately – the things I hear from Gearbox and the things I hear from the publisher and stuff, I don't even know if I want to go to that. Yeah. I don't even know if I care about that anymore.
It's a lukewarm reception towards Gearbox and 2K right now.
Now, this next one takes place in my hotel, in a meeting room in my hotel.
Okay.
And it is at 10 o'clock at night. It is called Press X to Scream, Horror Storytelling in Video Games.
Sounds like you relive your favorite moments from a horror-themed video game.
Yeah. The whole description says, what's scary? From the interstellar identity crisis of Prey to the dystopian terror of Bioshock to the existential alienation of Soma. There seems to be no end to ways a game can try to scare you. In this panel, the game analysts of With a Terrible Fate will consider what works and what doesn't in horror games. What can games learn from the rhetoric of fear, the mythology of terror, and philosophical skepticism about reality? Show up and find out. That's on Friday.
Five Nights at Freddy's should be in there.
Right? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, and Outlast.
I mean, they've got a lot to pick from.
Yeah. Yeah,
they got a lot to pick from. On Saturday, there is VG247 presents So You Think You Can Act.
Mm-mm.
Video game actors and a casting director will rate your performance. Audience read scripts and are given feedback on their performance by video game actors and a casting director. Bring your own lines or read from a selection we've chosen. Both budding actors and people who want to learn about the mysterious and super fun craft of voiceover are welcome.
All you got to do is show passion, folks.
Yeah.
You can go there.
Cosplay optional. Sissy Jones will be there. We've had her on the show.
Cosplay helps, actually.
Yeah.
AWA, things I went to, anything like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Cosplay helps.
I'm sure.
So,
the big one about this is that, okay, so Sissy Jones is there. We've had her on the show. She's the voice actor. She was in Firewatch, but we remember her mostly from Walking Dead, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She played one of the characters in the Telltale series, the Walking Dead Telltale series. Let's see. The other one, Jennifer Hale.
Okay.
From Mass Effect.
Right.
And many, many other voice credits as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one that got me is Sam Lake will be there.
Okay.
From Max Payne.
Yeah.
And from Remedy, basically. Mm-hmm. So that was just like, ooh, Sam Lake's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Do I have anything he can sign? And I might. I don't know. But
I'm pretty sure you do. I think you do.
I've got a box copy of Max Payne.
Yeah.
PC box copy Max Payne. So maybe.
Do you know where it's at right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God,
there you go.
Yeah,
there you
yeah.
go. We got it right there.
I've got all my PC game boxes from, and when I say modern era, I want to say from when I started PC gaming specifically, like when I built a rig to play games.
Right.
I have all of those out and about. I know exactly where those are.
Okay.
Now, the games, the box copies that go back a ways, I don't know where my Seventh Guest box copy is. It's in the house somewhere, but I don't know where that's at. The 11th Hour, the sequel to Seventh Guest,
right.
That box copy, I don't know where that's at, but it's in the house somewhere. Mm. I remember digging up my Riven box copy and my Myst box copy and those things. I have those on display just because they're meaningful and they're autographed.
Yeah.
So, but anything after that, starting with like Call of Duty, Max Payne, Halo when it got a PC release, Tron 2.0.
Yeah.
What else do I have? The Punisher, which goes back a ways.
Yeah.
Painkiller, Far Cry, City of Heroes, box copies of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right there.
Yeah.
So, also on Saturday is, and maybe I should be going over these tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but next week. But yeah, Control is about to come out as well, and so
I saw that. Yeah, it is.
Sam, I to see his name there, I was like, whoa! I did not know Sam Lake was going to be here. Why are they not making a big deal about this?
That reminds me, I didn't hear much about Control in the press or media or things like that. Have you?
It hasn't come out yet.
I know it hasn't come out yet, but usually there's some press or something.
There's been
there's
been some, and obviously it'll ramp up. I think when it's released.
Yeah, the last thing I saw was an article in a Game Informer. And then I haven't heard much.
I've talked about
it since.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
In that there's been very little talk on it.
Yeah.
Control comes out, the day I leave, on August 27th. That's a Tuesday.
Man, not too far from now, yeah.
Sam Lake was the director as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next panel is how to build your own gaming rig. Win a PC graphics card and more. Building a PC may seem daunting. We'll break it down for you to feel confident. We'll also be giving away parts, including a graphics card, power supply, and more to get you started on building your own PC. This is a maybe, whatever, but I put it there to make sure I had it. The next one, I go to this one. I mark it down to go to every year, but I rarely ever make it. You paid too much. How to find the best video game deals. This would be a quick panel if all they ever said was just subscribe to Wario64 on Twitter and you're fine.
True.
So, I mean, there's that one. That's Saturday. Sunday, video game composers. A panel featuring four of the industry's top video game composers. A one-hour panel. Lift the hood behind some of the iconic work you hear in video game music. Featuring a behind-the-scenes look at the process of the work of four different composers. They will each share their process and workflow for making some of the most iconic themes in video game music today. Richard Ludlow, who is an audio director, he will be there. Matthew Carl Earl, he's a lead composer. Austin Wintory, which is very familiar to me, he is a composer. I think I want to say Austin did one of the Assassin's Creeds. One of them, maybe two. Gary Shyman. We did a thing where we featured him.
Okay.
A couple of shows back.
Ago. Okay.
And I don't remember. Hang on. Now, I have a way to get to. I tell you real quick.
Two, maybe three shows ago?
Nope. I can't. I already deleted his folder.
Oh.
I have it at the house, which actually is on this computer that's running this thing right here.
Okay.
So I can check and see who that was and what we used for him. I can probably look him up anyway. Mm. And then Lena Raine, okay. Yeah, a composer as well. She will be there for that panel. And then on Monday, another voiceover thing, voiceover in video games. Returning for another year at PAX West, come to hear actors and game developers involved in video game voice work explain their stories. Blah, blah, blah. Sit down a while and listen as voice actors from Team Fortress 2, Battletech, State of Decay, and developers credited on Battletech and the Destiny series share their experiences of this evolving and endearing art form. Gary Schwartz, who plays the Heavy from TF2, will be there. Michael D. Blum from Battletech. Jill Scharr is a writer. Drew Hobson from State of Decay and Battletech. And Rob Pearsall, audio director, will be there as well for that panel. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have a lot lined up, but that's for just going to the panels.
Mm-hmm. I pulled up Gary Shyman. I think I got the right man. Destroy All Humans.
Yeah.
Destroy All Humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we use that track.
Mm-hmm.
He did some older stuff too. I thought
BioShock, Resistance, Retribution.
Well, the BioShock he did the DLC
mm-hmm.
on BioShock.
Mm-hmm. Well, BioShock 2, BioShock Infinite, Burial at Sea.
BioShock Infinite, yeah. Burial at Sea was the one that he did.
Yeah, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor,
mm-hmm.
and Dante's Inferno.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I didn't use that. I can't remember what I used for his stuff when we did him. We have
that was a good game, by the way, really good.
I need to look up and see who we have on this one. Mm-hmm. I didn't write the name down. Composer David. Okay, David. It's either David Wise or David Weiss. And I don't know if he... Because I don't
spell
know...
That. Spell that for me.
David and then W-I-S-E. That's it. So, I don't know if he's German or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got tracks from him today. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. Anyway, the other plan for PAX, which is coming up not next week, but the week after next... Which, by the way, we will not be doing a show that weekend. Labor Day weekend, for those of you here. August 30th is the date on that?
I keep forgetting that holiday for some reason.
August 31st. We will not be doing a show on the 31st.
Hmm.
So, just to let you know. The other thing I've been thinking of doing while I'm in Seattle is doing a pinball tour. I've been to the Pinball Museum a single time in the... Ever how many times I've gone to PAX?
Yeah, you talk about it every year. I mean, it's.
Well, I talk about it every year, but I've only been once.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back. Shorty's is a fantastic little bar setting that has pinballs in the back, pinball machines in the back.
Right.
So I'll hit that up. There's another one. There's a whole map.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pinball map of places to go, and so I'm going to hit up a few while I'm there. Mm. Just kind of do a pinball tour. I've never really. Devoted myself to it. I've always thought of something else to do or just felt like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it whatever. Just keep putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the hours were kind of funny out there too, wasn't it?
They can be. For the Pinball Museum, they can be. But, and depending on what, I've also reached out to Daniel,
mm-hmm.
who works with Bungie,
mm-hmm.
and I've asked him if I could get a studio visit. While I'm out there. So he's going to check on that, and he'll have to figure out if I can or if I can't. And then if I can, what time they have for me to come. And then I've got to schedule things around that. There's also the indie games at Xbox over at Microsoft's, at the Microsoft campus that I'll try and go to, which that's usually on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see about that. You know, I fly in Tuesday night. I get there very late Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all day Wednesday to mess around. I'll have some of the day Thursday to mess around. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will be PAX related, but I don't know how much of that is going to hold my time.
Yeah.
So that I have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pinball museum in Vegas. It's rather large. And I would like to go to it as well.
I must have missed that one. I didn't know there was one in Vegas.
There is, yeah. It's pretty large.
Know the name of it?
No, you can type in, just Google Pinball Museum Las Vegas and you'll see it.
All right.
Likely that's probably what it's called, the Las Vegas Pinball Museum. I don't think it's got any kind of special name like Bumpers I don't know. What do they call Plunger?
Plungers,
yeah. Or Launcher. The Back Glass. I don't know. I'm thinking of different I'm thinking of different pinball table bar names.
Yeah. Let's see.
The Drain.
The Las Vegas Pinball Hall of Fame Pinball Museum.
I think there's already other names called Tilt. And that's a pinball bar type place. Call it Flippers.
So okay. So Tilt, Flippers, Bumpers.
There's a lot of different names you could give a pinball bar. That's all I'm saying.
Ramps. I don't know. Traps.
Silver Balls.
Multi-ball.
You could do multi-ball, yeah. What's another one? The Kickback.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kickback. The Drain. Extra Ball. Mm. I mean, you pretty much name it off of anything you want to.
Any pinball term, yeah.
Any kind of pinball term, yeah. Jackpot.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway... So, talking about packs, we'll see about that. What have you played, RJ?
More the same with Grand Theft Auto, building money in that. Played a little bit of a Mutant League Football. I was just blew the dust off that and started playing that a little bit. Just one of those things I was looking at while taking data off my hard drive, saving some space in there, and I just started playing that for old time's sake. I played a little bit of a Street Fighter V, still trying to get used to the new characters that came out. And I played a bit of Destiny 2 as well when you gave that notice to everybody in the Hangouts.
Yeah, where did you play that? Where did you play that?
What, Destiny 2?
Did you play it on PS4?
Oh, PS4.
Okay.
Still on PS4. Still playing on PS4. Then I saw that notice you gave us about everybody being boosted to 750.
Mm-hmm.
And all the equipment as well. So when you said that, I really, really regretted the fact that I got rid of my Hunter and Warlock.
Oh.
Because I was like spending too much time trying to grind everybody up, and it was going to take forever, and I wasn't getting the expansion until much later, so I just went ahead and got rid of them. And then you put that notice out, and now I'm like, dang, I wish I really kept them around. All that equipment I lost and everything, but then I saw the part where you can just remake all the stuff that you had.
And you'll be 750 right there.
You'll be 750, just got to make the equipment. Yeah. So now I'm going to have to get a bunch of gunsmith materials and legendary shards, which is pretty easy, pretty simple. Just do some... random events in there, make them legendary, get some stuff, and then start breaking them down and whatnot and get what I need, and I can make everything back again. So it shouldn't be too long. The only drawback is I have to go through that story mode again for each character. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily.
I don't know. I opened it up in the story mode, and I didn't see any option to skip, other than cutscenes.
See, I don't know yet. I don't know, because I haven't started my third character.
Yeah, so
I at least know my third character has that charge of light or something that'll automatically boost me to something, or whatever it is.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing anything right now. Looks like I'm going to have to go through story mode again.
Maybe, maybe not. Hold off on that until everything starts, because from what I understand, they don't want you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They want you caught up, ready to play with everybody else.
Yeah.
So they don't want you to go through... the slog through the story.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you doing that. They want you out there ready to play. So, and I'm not exactly sure how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, because it said the 21st is going to be the crossover stuff, right?
21st is where you can, I think, link your accounts and do the cross save.
Okay.
So I'll be, I got to think. I have to do character migration from Battle.net to Steam.
Mm-hmm.
That does not count as cross save. That does not count as
still PC based. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's still PC based. I'm moving it from one to another, and so that doesn't go against anything else.
Doesn't cross over to anything. So yeah.
Right. It's all like, here, we have to do this because we have to get you off of Battle.net. We have to put you on Steam. Mm-hmm. But when they allow that, I'm going to cross-save with the PS4. Mm-hmm. As soon as I can link that. As soon as I can make my PC character my main.
Yeah.
My head character type person, the main account.
Right.
Then I will cross-save that with PS4, and then I'll be ready to go. Mm-hmm. So that I can play on PS4 with folks. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I was trying to see if Random was on, but he's not. Mm-hmm. And I can't see how I can do this.
Yeah, but after that goes on, finally I can get together with y'all on those raids and quests and whatever you have so much fun with.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, I can finally get that my favorite weapon up to 750. I mean, I haven't even seen any of the new weapons yet. I mean, especially, I haven't seen any bows and arrows yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still favoring the scout rifle over anything else. And I've really gotten attached to my Song of Justice 6.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do here is, let's see. Let's see if this works.
What, you got something with Bungie going on?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. I am... copy that. I'm doing a bunch of crap right now that I don't want to do, that I'd rather be dealing with off the air. Let's see. I'm going to send this to you.
It is Destiny.
It is, and it's, there we go. Now, let me go here. I'm trying to transfer a link from my phone to... here we go. Blah. There. This is something that Random and I have worked on for the past couple of weeks. We only really got it together and got it ready here just basically last night, most of it. We finally built a Discord for the Destiny clan. And I wanted to post a link to the Discord in that channel, in our Twitch chat. For anybody who's on PC and wants to join the clan and wants to play with us, that is the Discord that we've been working on. And you'll have to go there, you'll have to read the welcome message, and then you'll have to click over to the rules. Once you agree to the rules, you'll get membership privileges where you can chat and talk and everything else. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what we've been working on in prep for the new. For the new stuff for Destiny. Speaking of Destiny, I haven't played anything. I haven't played any Destiny.
So nothing?
Well, I always forget that we have those days. I basically start thinking from Monday on. Mm-hmm. But Sunday, I got on and ran a raid for about 30 minutes, and that is all I played of Destiny. Mm-hmm. For this entire week, that's it.
Well, you did say last time that you've achieved everything you wanted to achieve so far into the cross save.
I have. So, I really, really have. I want to do more raiding just so that I can get more raids under my belt and get an option or get a chance at some of the exotic weapons that come with those raids.
Yeah, so I need to go with you because, like I said, I've never done I haven't done any of the raids. Like even that first one with the Leviathan. Nope, haven't done it. This was the same problem last time. Everybody wants someone with experience.
Yeah.
And I have no experience, so I can't. Well, let's get in with that.
We'll try and make that happen for you.
Yeah.
Want you to come over to the PC side of things. It just works so much easier for me on the PC side of things. Yeah. I haven't played Destiny on PS4 in
Now since you've been on PC, you're having to, you may as well delete it off
it's
your PS4.
It's going to be very, very weird to play.
No, at this point, I'm serious. You may as well take it off your PS4. Save that space.
It's going to be my cross save. Mm-hmm. So that I can come over there, like, and play. If nobody's on PC doing it, and you're available to play on PS4, sure, I can jump over there. And any progression I make just stays with that character. In case let's say I do run a raid with you on PS4, and I earn an item that I didn't have before. Well, good, it's saved to that character, so that item comes right back over on PC when I jump back over there. Mm. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. I'm not saying I will. I'm not saying that it'll happen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But out of all the ways to, if I'm going to cross save my game, it's going to be with a PS4. PC, PS4 cross save. That's what I'm going for. Mm. That's where I know more people playing. So that was my whole point. So, Anyway, we are at the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a break. Obviously, I'm not going to be talking about Destiny at all. I mean, we sort of just did. Me and RJ here talking about the level increase for everybody. Everybody's going to start out at 750 at the new stuff. They showed off their new armor mods, which...
That's 400-plus level jump for me.
That's huge. I know. But they want everybody available to play with everybody else. Mm-hmm. So when they're since they're opening it up for free-to-play, we have a lot of people playing this game.
Yeah, sudden influx of a lot of players coming in. So yeah.
Yes. They're increasing the glitter cap, or the glimmer cap. Glitter. Yeah, they're increasing that to 250,000.
Sparkly.
Yeah. So...
That's it?
It is, because it costs to put in those armor mods that they're doing. It costs... I don't know how much it costs to put the armor mods. It's still going to be an issue where you're never going to run out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You will never run out. You will always have it. You'll never run out. So, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, today we are focusing on video game composer David Wise. Is that what we said? Is that what we think?
It says he was British.
He's British?
British.
Probably David Wise. He's a video game composer. Where you will hear him most is with games from Rare Limited, I guess, or Rare Games, whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
He did Killer Instinct music. Some for characters. He did... Oh, what was another one? He did one of the Viva Pinata games. He's done a lot of Rare titles.
Mm-hmm.
He did Battletoads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way back to Battletoads. He also did Battletoads Arcade. And he did this track here, which comes from Battletoads and Double Dragon. If you remember that team up.
Mm-hmm.
So... this is David Weiss. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from, well, music by David Wise. This goes back to the LJN days of the NES.
Ugh.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
You said a name there, man.
Yeah, I know.
What's the first debacle you remember with LJN?
Jaws. Yeah.
I was thinking more of Back to the Future.
Well, Back to the Future. I think Jaws or Friday the 13th was another one.
Mm.
I can't remember what was what came first. But LJN did a lot. I had Knight Rider by them. I had Back to the Future. I had Jaws. Man, what else? I had Who Framed Roger Rabbit as well. I was looking for the music for this, and of course there's other videos attached to it, and there was like, oh, here's a full playthrough. It takes an hour. And so I started watching it, and I remembered, like, I remembered how I played it, and I was confused. But the moment I started watching this other guy play it, I was like, oh, that's how it plays. Oh, okay. How, this is why I thought it was so hard, because I wasn't paying attention.
Is this one of those Sonic 3 barrel moments?
I don't know. I don't know what that moment is.
The thing that got it, the thing that convinced everybody that Sonic 3 was broken in Carnival Night Zone was a red and white barrel that people couldn't get past. And all you had to do was jump on top of it and hold up and down to make the momentum swing up and up and down so that the pathway would open up. Hmm. But people were confused and didn't know what to do, so they just thought the game was broken and started reporting to Sega. And after, now when I got to that point, it was like just playing around with stuff, and I figured out after about after a few minutes or so, just hold up and down to get the momentum swinging. But a lot of people didn't, apparently.
Interesting. Because the way that I, so the way that Roger Rabbit works is that you got to find all like four or five pieces of the will. And
Acme's will.
Yeah. You got to find all those. And then I think that gets you into Toontown. And then once you get into Toontown, you can fight Judge Doom. But I think you also have to have other, you have to have other pieces of things. I can't remember. But
so gather all, one of those, gather all the stuff before you can.
Yeah, but I didn't really, I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know how to find those things. The thing was that you have to talk to people. And either I was talking to people and just not paying attention to what they said, because I remember, or just not being methodical with how I went about doing that, because you're placed in a city and there's like buildings all over the place.
Right.
So you go to into a building and then you're at the front of that building and you can talk to passersby and you can ask them, can you help me? And they will say either, no, I can't help you, this building is empty, yes, search this building. Those are the responses you'll get. If they say this building is empty, mark that off your map. There's nothing there for you. You can leave and go to the next one and go to the next one and go to the next one. And just do this over and over and over and over and over and over again until you've done the entire city. It's not procedural. It's not going to continue to make more. The map is so big, so there it is. You know, it's all right there. And then you can find the will in, like, the caves, and there was a flashlight, and then I remembered what that meant. And there was, I just, there was so many things that just did not click for me when I remember playing that game as a child. That suddenly, watching this video, I was like, wow, that's how it worked.
Yeah.
And I watched him sit there and beat it, and I watched the end, which all the end was, you know, they saved Toontown. Hooray. The end. You know? There was no, like, there was no ending sort of...
No fanfare, no...
There was nothing, man.
No short...
It was basically like words. That. You know? That was it. Words.
So this game was a text-based adventure.
No, at the end, the end of it was. The end of it was just like, congratulations, you beat the game. The end. You're done. You know? That's all it was. So, I played that game so many... I think with a Game Genie, I actually got to Judge Doom.
Is that the most disappointing indie you've seen?
I mean, it probably ranks up. Well, I don't know. The problem is you put an hour of your time in and you get that ending. It's probably okay. You know, an hour of your time.
Yeah.
But I never put in an hour of my time on that game. I put in many hours of my time. This is like if this is like the Top Gun game we were talking about a couple weeks ago. If I ever got past, there were five levels in that entire game and I could never get past the second level.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I knew how to do everything and could do everything correct, that game probably takes you 30 minutes or less, you know, 30 minutes, less than an hour easily.
Yeah, it was just the landing part, right?
Yeah. No, it was the midair refueling. Landing was tough on the first mission.
Yeah.
But regardless, you had enough lives to move you to the second. The second mission, however, required you to do a midair refuel, and... If you couldn't do that, well, that's it. And I could never get past the second level. because every time I would crash, it would put me back at the checkpoint of mid-air refueling, and I could never get it done. So, but I feel like if you knew what to do, knew how to do everything, and could get through that thing, game's probably maybe 30, 45 minutes long as well. Mm-hmm. And probably the ending is nothing but, you know, good job, you saved the day. You know, now go kiss whatever her name was, Kelly something. I can't remember what the actress's name was.
Kelly McGinnis.
Kelly McGinnis, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go kiss Kelly McGinnis and then play volleyball. you know, that's what I figure is probably whatever. Even if it is, it was probably fine for 45 minutes of gameplay. Mm-hmm. If you knew what you were doing. But nobody that I know ever put in 45 minutes as a child playing these games when they first released. Mm-hmm. You put in hours and hours and hours and hours and hours upon work.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of days to beat DuckTales because I couldn't save my progress. I had to pause it and turn off the monitor.
That's true. And again, yeah, back in the time when you couldn't save.
DuckTales, by the way, was the first Nintendo game I ever sent in to Nintendo Power on. Mm-hmm. I had my mom or dad or somebody come take a picture of me next to the ending screen.
Yeah.
On a Polaroid and sent that in or whatever. I don't think it ever made it, but that was the only one I did that on.
I think I remember Sonic the Hedgehog, original Sonic the Hedgehog on the Genesis had a contest who could get through stage one of Green Hill Zone the fastest. You know, get through the stage, take a picture of your mm-hmm. results and send it in that way. There was another one for, I think Eternal Champions had some type of promotion for that as well. Take a picture of the end credits of, the story that comes up after you beat the game with a certain character. I think I had those two as well. And the other time would be for X-Men, well, not taking a picture, but calling in, seeing how to do that, reset the computer thing that they had.
Trying to delete it. No, I can't delete it. Okay. Speaking of DuckTales, by the way, mm-hmm. when I was talking about that, the DuckTales Remastered made it back to the top of the charts this week.
Of course it did.
Yeah, because they were pulling it from stores.
They were yanking it, yeah.
Yeah. This comes from the EMEAA, which is, what is the EMEAA? I don't know what that is. Anyway, it's digital data. And these are the charts for the week ending August the 11th. Number one was Grand Theft Auto V. This is combined digital and physical.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Theft Auto V was number one last week and number one this week. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. That was number four last week, but jumped to number two.
Mm-hmm.
DuckTales Remastered. Last week, it was ranked 1,191.
Oh, it ranked?
That was last week. This week, yep. It was number three.
Yeah, I'm still saying it ranked.
Oh, yeah. Okay. At 1,191.
Mm-hmm.
Number four was FIFA. Number five was FIFA. Or no, I'm sorry. Number four was F1. Number five was FIFA. Number six, Super Mario Maker 2. Age of Wonders Planetfall was number seven this week, which was brand new. It didn't have any other ranking. Red Dead Redemption 2 moved up from number 12 to number 8. Need for Speed Payback. That moved from number 24 to number 9.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the announcement of a new Need for Speed this past week.
Maybe.
Which they did. And I had no interest in it whatsoever. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe went from number 11 to number 10. So, mm-hmm. So that whole speaking of DuckTales. Yeah, so Need for Speed Heat was announced.
Mm-hmm.
It was teased, and then it was announced. And it's Ghost Games again making it. I watched the trailer. The trailer looked, well, the trailer didn't look like gameplay, so I didn't pay much attention to it.
So it didn't show you anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heat is the 16th entry in the Need for Speed series. Players will race on beachfront straightaways and technical downtown courses, as well as, of course, a huge freeway for the inevitable getaway. Players will race in two series in Heat. There is a sanctioned daytime competition called the Speed Hunter Showdown, where you earn money to buy and customize a fleet of cars. At night, you are working for a kind of currency called rep in an underground racing series where corrupt cops can bust you and, through the magic of civil asset forfeiture, take your money as well. Ghost Games, which was behind Need for Speed Payback and the reboot in 2015, Need for Speed, and Need for Speed Rivals in 2013, is also developing the game. I thought I got a release date on this. Yeah, they are developing it now. Releases November the 8th, PC, Xbox One, and PS4. So,
what was the last one you played?
I did not play whatever this last one was. Mm-hmm. Or did I? I may have. And by saying that, I may... No. I played a Need for Speed at E3.
Okay.
And I haven't been to an E3 in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not... Okay. I did not play this most recent one. This was the most recent one that had takedowns. It looked very Burnout-y.
Mm-hmm.
It was cringe shown on the E3 stage.
Yeah.
When EA did one last year. Not this past year, but last year. Yeah, I did not play that one.
Yeah. The only one I played was The Run. I think that's the only one I played for Need for Speed.
I played the one that Criterion developed. Mm-hmm. And then I played the one that launched with the PS4, which I think was Rivals.
Mm.
And then I don't think I played any other Need for Speed at all.
Yeah. But you said it was the 16th one in the series, huh?
Mm-hmm. 16 of those titles. That's too much. Yeah. Mm. So, new Need for Speed. Good job. Yay. Volition is working on a new Saints Row title.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. We got a lot of news out of THQ and what they were owning and what they're working on and everything else. So the fact that they're working on a new Saints Row title should not come as a surprise, really. I mean, of course they are.
Wonder what their gimmick's going to be, though.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Where do you take it after where you've taken it
far? Started out serious, and it went. Started out serious, then it became a parody, then it became off the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And now, exactly, where do you go from here?
THQ Nordic quietly dropped several bombshells regarding its biggest franchises during this week's interim report. Saints Row is coming back. It's surprising to think it's been 6 years since we've had a Saints Row game.
Goodness.
There was that Agents of Mayhem game, but...
yeah, it doesn't quite count. No.
Volition is working on it. Saints Row 5 is on its way, whether in name or not. THQ Nordic stressed that Dead Island 2 is still in the works. Mm. That's amazing. I saw a teaser trailer for that at the last E3 I was at. Mm-hmm. The last E3 I was at was in 2014, I think.
Hmm.
5 years.
Yeah.
And they are still working on Dead Island 2. It's become vaporware. Homefront, the Revolution dev Dambuster, is now leading the charge to develop Dead Island 2. Then there is, let's see, THQ Nordic doesn't seem to be content with sitting idly on those Time Splitters rights. So apparently they're working on another Time Splitters title.
Hmm.
Yeah, Dead Island. Just be done with it. Really, just be done with it.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about that really stuck out to me with that game was how fast your equipment degraded in that game.
I never played it.
Yeah.
It never... Honestly, and that's one of the reasons was that here's the main reason.
Mm-hmm.
They released a trailer that they had no business releasing for Dead Island.
Mm-hmm.
They released a trailer that could not live up to the story that was told in that 2-minute trailer.
Was this the hotel room one?
The one that played in reverse.
No.
Yeah, it's a hotel.
Okay, it's a hotel room. Okay.
It's just that you start on the little girl's eyes, you know, being all glossed over because she's a zombie.
Okay, yeah.
And then right. it yeah. go, plays in reverse.
Yeah,
and
right.
you. So it starts in reverse, mm-hmm. but then you get flashbacks of the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and they eventually meet up.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn the entire story of, oh, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And again, they never. That wasn't the story that was being told.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the story of Dead Island. That wasn't the... there was nothing like that in there. There was nothing. The trailer did a better job at telling a story than the game ever could. And they did a good job. I mean, marketing did its job because that got people's attention. Massive attention because of that trailer. It's still, I've watched it recently, and it's still like, God, that is so good for a game that just did not live up to what they were doing there. And I'm not saying games have to live up to your trailer, but, and they don't have to. When you do something that good, oh man, that's a disappointment. There's no way you can win. There's no way you can win. You're going to come out losing the battle with that one. Another trailer that was fantastic. But, and some people will argue with me, is the, was it Halo 3 or 4? I can't remember. It's the one that had the diorama. Do you remember that?
Never been big on Halo, to be honest with you.
You should. That's another one you should look up. Anybody else want to look up? It was a. It was a well done. The music was very well done. It was apparently set in the future, where a museum exists depicting the battle that takes place, and it's all these veterans coming up to talk about how they handled the battle and what they saw in the battle. And it's all done in this diorama thing where everything's frozen in time type of thing.
A sister says Halo 3, Believe Diorama.
That would be it, yeah. Halo 3. That would be it. Okay. It was fascinating. It was wonderful. It was great. Mm-hmm. And it sold me on the game, although I know after playing the game, there were people who were disappointed that they didn't get a chance to play that, not necessarily the diorama, but that the diorama wasn't depicted in there in some way. Whatever story was being told in that diorama, which there was millions of stories being told in that diorama. Mm. It was huge. But it was great. That was the small complaint I heard was like, oh, where is this thing where, because it shows Master Chief pretty much in a no-win situation. Mm-hmm. Except suddenly you see he's got like a grenade or a bomb in his hand. Mm-hmm. And so he's about to sacrifice himself and win the war, I guess. And they were like, oh, where was that? Why wasn't that in the game? And that sort of thing. I heard it, but not much. Mm. Not much. And I was satisfied with it. I was satisfied with Halo 3's ending. I was satisfied with the marketing campaign for that as well. So, but Dead Island is nothing. There's no way. That you exceeded yourself. Mm. Anyway, and you're partly responsible because you showed no gameplay.
That's true.
The trailer you showed had nothing to do with the game itself. And if you maybe had led with a disclaimer at the beginning, the following footage does not represent gameplay, story, or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, have something in front that says this is not
actual gameplay.
Well, we knew it wasn't actual gameplay, but it also represented nothing in the story. Mm. So, it got people to talk about it, but it didn't do what it needed to do, I guess, as far as get people there. It put it on a lot of people's lists, though. Yeah. And there was a lot of people disappointed when they got it. But it put it on a lot of people's lists. Mm. But again, this is why I say, when you watch a trailer, understand. And I do this for everything, man. Understand that if you're seeing a commercial for something, well, it is a commercial. It is an advertisement. They are putting their best foot forward to get your attention. Mm-hmm. So in a video game, when you see a video game advertisement, pay attention to what you're seeing. Are you seeing nothing but clips from cinematics? Are you seeing nothing but parts of the game that you don't control? Mm-hmm. You know? Think about what you're seeing when it shows a different angle of your character doing something, and understand that you're not going to see that angle if it's a first-person shooter. You know? Or if it's a third-person shooter, you're likely not to get that angle, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. But just understand that everything is built to get your attention to put this game on your list and possibly buy it. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to how often you do see a HUD, the heads-up display.
If at all.
So that you can get an idea of, oh, that's gameplay. Oh, that's gameplay. You know, just be alert when you see these things. So... Right, that's the other thing. They do put not actual gameplay on a lot of game trailers now. So to make sure that you know what you're getting into. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more in-game chats in just a moment. We're focusing on the music of David Wise. We have played Battletoads and Double Dragon, which was a team-up game from back in the day. Super Nintendo on that one? When was that? Battletoads and Double Dragon was what?
I think that was Super Nintendo, yeah.
I think so, too. I don't think it was NES, because the music did not sound very NES-y.
No.
Are you looking that up now?
I'm looking it up. 93.
What were the platforms?
Let's see. Super Nintendo.
Okay. Yeah. SNES. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we played Who Framed Roger Rabbit from back in the day. Oh. We're also going to go... What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nintendo ported later to the Genesis, Super NES, and Game Boy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Many consoles, apparently.
Well, we must have pulled off the Super Nintendo music for that one, because that sounded pretty good. We're going to go back way back, even further back than Who Framed Roger Rabbit, to a game on the Nintendo Entertainment System called RC Pro-Am.
Oh, that was fun.
Yes. He did the music for RC Pro-Am and Super RC Pro-Am, I think, for the Super Nintendo as well.
Before Mario Kart, you had
that. And that's the thing. This track is only 30 seconds long because the music was not long in video games back then.
No.
It ate up too much memory. So they couldn't have a lot of music.
Yep, so you had to have some impact in that short time.
Yeah, you did.
As well.
You did. So we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm fascinated by this track. I'm fascinated by the main title theme for this game as well. It's another LJN classic for you from the NES days. This is Beetlejuice from David Wise.
I wouldn't think that would be a theme for Beetlejuice.
It's not the theme. This is not the theme. Mm-hmm. This was just part of the game stuff. But the main title theme is more closer to, not this, but the faster part, I think, comes after this.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me see. No, it's not this part either. But this is good. This part. This was more likely the theme.
Yeah. Well, what gets me is that it sounds a little too, just my opinion, but it sounds a little too upbeat.
Yeah, no, it does.
For a game like, for a title like Beetlejuice.
Well, you know, it's also geared towards kids playing the NES, and kids playing the NES back then were like 6 or 7 years old. You know, maybe 10. So, you know, they couldn't really go hard into the Beetlejuice stuff, probably. It was just strange. I listened to the main theme and I thought, that's really odd. And then I found this other one. And I said, okay, that sounds more closer like I would think what Beetlejuice might sound like as far as an 8-bit version of the game. Mm-hmm. Or at least the music anyway, but... they obviously did not license the music mm-hmm. from Elfman and everything. So it was interesting to come across. So anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat. Oh, I almost fired off the next track. I don't know why I almost did that. I did a search in my email for PAX West stuff. I have a lot to go through, and there's no way I can do this on the show and go through all of these titles and these games and stuff. There's just no way I can do it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna have to cull them and do this in the next few days, probably starting tonight. There's my pass approval, and then there comes my... Yeah, there comes all of my stuff that starts to come in. Started getting a request on July 29th. And since then, I've gotten... I don't know how many that is. That's over 50. About 50 or so emails that I need to go through. Some of these are repeats. Some of these are other people saying, hey, did you get my email earlier about this? So, yeah. You know... There's a lot of those, but I'll go through and see. I've already signed up for the Tiny Build Party. Well, they've got a presentation as well, but it's a party presentation type thing. I went to this last year, and I want to say I made a fool of myself. I didn't make a fool of myself at the party. It was when I left that I made a fool of myself.
Okay. Was liquor involved?
Open bar.
Yeah. Okay.
It was an open bar. And I made a complete and utter fool of myself.
Please tell me you weren't put on YouTube after this.
No. Okay. No, not at all. Not at all. But it was bad times. It was bad. Mm-hmm. It was bad. And I will never do that again. Ever.
Okay.
Never will I do that again. I promise you. I will never do it again. Dude, it was bad.
The more you say it, the less convinced I am.
Dude, it was bad. It was real bad. It was very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I will never do that again. I promise you I won't. I promise. Everybody, I will not do that again. It was so bad. Oh, no, I didn't. After the party, oh boy. I rather would not say what I did after the party.
This is an FCC regulated show.
Well, there's that, and there's also the lack of a memory of that night. I'm not kidding. I am not one who normally does that sort of thing, but it happened that night. It was the first time that had ever happened to me where the memory of most of everything after that party is very blurry as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then me waking up the next morning and being like, how'd I get here? Oh, gosh. Yeah, no. It was bad. I never had experienced that before.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. 40-year-old man, first time that has ever happened to me. And it won't ever happen again. I promise you.
You said that 13 times now.
Well, it's just a thing of like, look, it's bad. Okay. Don't ever do that. So, we're not going to go over the amount of appointments that I've got. There are some good ones, though. The Indie Mega Booth has an invite. They gave me their lineup. What do they have for this? I love the indie games. Oh, good God. There's 45 games in the Mega Booth, and there is 12 in the Mini Booth Friday and Saturday, and 12 again Sunday and Monday. Do I know any of these? Arcade Spirits, Backbone, Cake Bash.
Backbone Entertainment?
No, just Backbone is the name of the game. Mm-hmm. Cook Serve Delicious 3. That sounds familiar. Frog Detective 2. What else is here? Ninja Legends, Out of Space. Ooh, Pray for the Gods is going to be there. I got to hook up an appointment for them.
Mm-hmm.
Praey for the gods.
Mm.
Pray for the gods. Have you seen that?
Mm.
It is very, very Shadow of the Colossus-esque.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
Oh.
Yeah?
I'm just looking at the description. Pray for the Gods is a brutal journey set on a desolate frozen island where your only chances of survival is to destroy the very gods you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. Twin Cop, Undermine, Wave Break, Wooden Nickel. Let's look at the mini booth titles here to see if anything comes across that I know. Nothing on Friday and Saturday. Sunday and Monday? Emily is away. That's a sequel or a threequel?
Emily Wants to Play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said Emily, and I'm thinking, yeah, is that
yeah,
the,
no, no, it's that yeah. one. It's that one.
Based on the children's games, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Sail Forth, that's going to be there. Okay. Some interesting stuff there. I got to make some appointments for those. Oh, man, I got to see Pray for the Gods. Mm. Gotsta. So, what else do we have as far as, Nate was here and tell us he was in the beta or alpha or whatever for a new Plants vs. Zombie game. Mm-hmm. And then the very next day, Trademark releases for Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare 3, which is actually called, was it Welcome to, yeah, Plants vs. Zombie Battle for Neighborville. A trailer released for it that was linked to me from the Wario64 account. And it looks like Garden Warfare? Mm. It looks like that. So, more of the same, basically. Although I've heard things about Garden Warfare, that it's actually pretty good. So, they're working on an enhanced edition of System Shock 2. System Shock 2. They're working on that. The 16-year-old who won the Fortnite World Champion got swatted.
Yeah, I heard about that.
During a stream.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar what swatting is, it's that I'm not going to tell you so you don't get any ideas.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a horrible troll tactic.
It's a ridiculous thing to do. And some folks have lost their lives over that.
They actually have, yeah. No, yeah. It's a horrible, dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Swatting is when you find the location of someone that is on a stream or something like that, and then you call in a police threat that says there is a kidnapping or a hostage situation or anything that is very, very high threat level type thing.
Something that would induce a police level emergency, but sometimes SWAT to come to that location.
And they will bust in, man. They will get to your house and they will bust in. And because they take all calls seriously like that, yeah. And they're just because what happens if it is a thing,
yeah.
And they don't. So, yeah, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Mm-hmm. So, Destroy All Humans, we talked about that because one of the composers is going to be at PAX. Mm-hmm. But they have a collector's edition that comes with a backpack. It is $400. The backpack is kind of cool.
any level of detail like that board game for... What was that game? Shadow something?
For the Darksiders or whatever?
It was something.
Yeah.
Some of that big board game. The board game was the bulk of the $400 price tag.
Well, it's got an alien statue, which is really kind of cool, actually. The statue I like. The feature for this one is the backpack that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Better be a heck of a backpack.
It kind of is. It's an alien. When you wear it, it makes it look like it's holding onto your back.
Okay.
I know. It's kind of dumb, but it's, I don't think it's worth $400.
Okay. If you're a fan, I guess I have it, but
yeah. The collector's edition, which one is it? Yeah, the crypto edition is the $400 one.
Mm-hmm.
The collector's edition comes with a nice little statue of a flying saucer crashed into the ground. I like that one, but I've never been a Destroy All Humans fan to really want to pick that up. Mm. So, what else do we have? Demo plans for the Shenmue 3, or at least for the backers, you'll get a demo.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a big one. Loot Crate filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, they have.
Loot Crate's announced plans to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Reports of financial troubles have been circulating for a while, including defaulting on a $21 million loan in 2017. They have about 250,000 subscribers. The plan is to try and sell the company with one of its investors. The bankruptcy filing and overall financial woes have devastated the company's workforce. They closed its warehouse, laid off 150 workers last month, and an additional 50 employees were laid off last week, leaving the company with just 60 full-time workers. Reports have since surfaced that employees were let go without any severance or benefits,
jeez,
resulting in a $20 million severance fund for its 30,000 former employees. Oh, no, that's from the Toys R Us situation. But that is something that happened. Daily operations will continue as usual. Unique and exciting fan items will be purchased. Crates will be shipped, and all aspects of the business will go on as before the Chapter 11 filing. Our employees will continue to be paid as usual during this transaction. According to the bankruptcy, the company has been withholding customer billing and still owes at least $20 million worth of shipments to customers. Some subscribers report not having received subscription boxes in the past 3 months. Their deputy editor of this place, who receives courtesy subscription for media, says the last shipment that arrived was the May Nemesis box. It stopped for me a long time ago.
Yeah.
There have also been complaints of repeat items, lack of interesting exclusive, and boxes filled with disappointing goods.
I knew the quality was going down. I remember hearing that a bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I still have all of those Loot Crate boxes at my house.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking up a massive space. I was going to try and find some way to give them out. But I still have them. I haven't done anything with them. Mm-hmm. They're all open because we opened up every single one of them for the show.
Right.
But I think they've all been open, and I think they've all been categorized as to like, okay, this box is this, this is this, this is this. So, I mean, we could do something to give them away, but I never came up with anything. Mm. There's a ton of them at the house. We talked about Saints Row. We talked about THQ and Volition. Mm-hmm. The Genesis Mini.
Yes.
Good. This is good.
Yes.
This is really good.
And I think we've talked off the air about why it's good.
The Genesis Mini is almost here. It releases September 19th for $80. It is a first-party Sega product, not a licensed offshoot.
Thank God.
The software is done by M2, a group of emulation experts obsessed with quality and accuracy. The device's 42 games are a selection of some of the best that Sega's 16-bit console had to offer. Mm-hmm. The game selection was a real sticking point with the Genesis Flashback HD, the latest Tiny Genesis on emulation, blah, blah, blah. What makes Genesis Mini appealing beyond the game selection is that it's so much fun to play around with. In its quest to replicate the exact look of the original console, Sega even replicated the volume control knob, the cartridge port, and the expansion slot on the bottom. You can push the volume control up and down, stick your finger into the cartridge slot to move the spring-loaded flaps, and take the expansion port cover on and off. None of these things actually do anything. They're just little interactive bits on a toy, but they make the hardware itself that much more fun.
Gives it that authentic feel, especially if you've ever owned a Sega Genesis.
Yeah, plug it in and you'll probably end up poking around all the menus before you play a game. The Mini's interface is smooth and enjoyable to mess with. You can sort the games by release date, alphabetically, number of players, or genre. You can view the front of the box art or line the games up by their spine arts. You can also pop into the settings menu and change the system language, which is more interesting than you might think. Change it to Japanese and the whole menu changes to the Japanese Mega Drive.
Mm-hmm.
The box arts switch to the Japanese versions, and even the game versions change. Switch to European languages and you'll see the same thing, the PAL region Mega Drive aesthetic and European versions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
While most of the games only had minor differences between regions, that isn't always, even if you don't want to play it, where's the list? I was going to say, where was the list of games?
Hmm.
Let's see. I'm opening up a website now to see what the list of, did we ever cover the list of games?
I don't know. I'm trying to go off of memory right now.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Echo the Dolphin.
Right.
That's all. Castlevania Bloodlines.
Yeah. Darius, the one that was never released in the U.S. That
Space,
was going to be on there.
Space Harrier 2.
Mm-hmm.
Shining Force. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Mm-hmm. Puyo Puyo, basically.
Yeah. Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Comics Zone.
Good one.
Sonic, of course. Altered Beast.
Sonic, Altered Beast.
Gunstar Heroes. Shinobi 2. Super... I don't know what that says.
What's the first letter? Spell it.
I can't even tell you. Looks like an S. Super something. Does that open? Let me open link in a new tab, see what that tells me. Oh, Jesus. Super Fantasy Zone.
Okay.
God, that is horrible.
What?
It's a horrible font.
No.
To look at from a distance and be, whatever. Thunder Force 3.
Okay.
Oh, World of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
Yeah, I think Castle of Illusion is in
there,
too.
Castle of Illusion is in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Streets of Rage 2, Earthworm Jim, Sonic 2, Contra Hardcore, Land Stalker, mm-hmm. Beyond Oasis, Ghouls and Ghosts, Alex Kidd.
Okay. Vector Man's in there, too, right?
I believe, yep.
Yeah,
yes.
Vector Man should be in there, yeah.
Golden Axe, Phantasy Star 4,
mm-hmm.
Wonder Boy, Sonic Spinball, which is the pinball version of Sonic.
Which Wonder Boy?
Wonder Boy in the Monster World.
Okay, this, yeah.
Yeah. Mega Man, The Wily Wars.
The Wily Wars, yeah.
Street Fighter 2, Virtua Fighter 2,
mm-hmm.
Columns.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, Dynamite Heady.
Mm-hmm.
Strider.
Oh, yeah.
Road Rash 2, great title.
Yeah, it is. That needs a reboot.
Monster World 4.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal Champions, Light Crusader, and Kid Chameleon, plus Tetris and Darius.
Yeah, Darius, yeah.
Yeah.
I think something they'll said about the games was that you get a little history lesson of each one, you know, before playing the game. They got a little description of everything. And I think that's where he saw Darius. This is the one that was never released in the States.
This is great.
Yeah.
I am in love with this. This is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to what's going to happen whenever they, whenever somebody can crack the code on this one.
Someone add stuff to it? Yeah.
You got to think some of these developers who build these things are thinking, well, they're going to do this. Let's give them some, let's give them some room to really enjoy it.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think this thing comes with two of the, three button controllers as well.
Two of the three button controllers. Yeah. Yes. And it's pretty. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good.
That's really, really good.
And I hope it does. Hope it takes off. It does well.
I think it will.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have going on? We talked about the Genesis, Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Need for Speed will not have loot boxes.
Yeah, some companies say that, but
yeah.
Like the situation we were talking about earlier.
One thing that Need for Speed Heat isn't carrying over from its predecessor is casino-style car part acquisition.
Mm, yeah.
Previous entry payback was, in large part, you had car parts and upgrades doled out through slots and loot boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The community manager at a Q&A said fears that Heat would be as infuriatingly random as payback. There are no loot boxes in Need for Speed Heat, and there won't be. Ever.
Like I said, we've heard that.
No surprise mechanics, nothing. Instead, expect a more traditional DLC model. He claimed Heat will sell car packs as time goes on and eventually drop a time save pack that reveals all collectibles on the map. Wasn't there something that came out about Apex Legends?
Yeah, there was something about a loot box style mechanic given for some skins or whatever, some cosmetics. But you'd have to, this was like some ridiculous paywall that they put in.
Yeah, I'm going to read the article here. Earlier this week, Respawn launched the Iron Crown event in Apex Legends, a game I haven't played in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The event, I in fact deleted it off of my Xbox One and my PC.
Mm-hmm.
The event introduced a handful of new skins to the game, but all of these cosmetics were locked behind a punishing and expensive loot box mechanic. The reaction from the community was nearly instantaneous as fans voiced their concerns, feeling that the developer had gone too far with its monetization for the new event. On Friday afternoon, Respawn's Drew McCoy published a post on the official Apex Legends site detailing changes that would be made to the availability of the Iron Crown cosmetics. The gist is that the cosmetics will no longer require loot boxes, though they remain an option if a player chooses. Instead, individual items can be purchased for 1,800 Apex coins, which is about $18 in real-world money. Cosmetics will roll out for purchase over the course of several days. The schedule is below. McCoy wrote that the team still has room for improvement. We need to be better at letting our players know what to expect from the various event structures in Apex Legends. He went on, stating that the last week has been a huge learning experience for us, and we're taking the lessons forward to continue bringing the best possible experience to all of you. That is the biggest BS line I've ever read.
It is not a learning
experience for you. It's something you tried to slip by and got busted on and said, okay, we're going to have to walk back on this. You went into a meeting and said, guys, I have a great idea. I'm not reading the article anymore. And said, guys, I have a great idea for us to make money. Let's put these behind loose boxes. Let's do this. Yeah, but doesn't that seem a bit skeevy? Well, yeah, it does. But let's just put it out there. If we could call back, we got a plan to roll that back and say, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Didn't mean anything by it. We'll fix that.
Learning experience, at this point, everybody knows.
If we get away with it, we're golden. If we don't, that's fine. We'll just do this little thing here, and we'll be okay. We'll still make it optional for people to do that if they want to, but we won't require it. We'll just back off on that.
It's garbage. Look, like I'm saying, everybody knows the response of people when they get caught doing this type of stuff.
That's it. That's all it was.
It's not a learning
experience. You knew exactly
what was going to happen.
You got caught. That's what happened.
And like Lethal Migraine said, Respawn said no loot boxes in Apex either. And they lied.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's also something else. And Lethal Migraine says it. Cosmetics.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. It's not something that's vital to gameplay.
I don't care about cosmetics. You can wrap them up in loot boxes all day long. I don't care. I might see them I hate to relate it to Destiny, but that's really the only experience I have right now. But Destiny has put a few things behind a paywall.
It's a bunch of stuff.
But none of it matters, whatever it is. It's all cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, it's all cosmetic.
So, you know, I got my armor all the way up to where I needed it to be.
Yeah.
And there's these great little solar void and arc effects that you can buy that will make your armor glow and have all these little projections and stuff. It's really, really neat looking.
How often do you see that?
I see it a lot on people, actually.
On other people.
Yeah.
Not on your character, though. That's the point for me. Yeah. It's a first-person shooter, and you've got this fancy gear on, but you're not going to see it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Unless you hit the pause screen and look at it all day.
Yeah.
But you're going to see it on other folks all
day
long.
They do offer it. You can buy it with silver, which is something you require from real world money.
Yeah, the pay currency, yeah.
Right. You have to buy silver with freedom bucks. You have to buy silver with actual real world money, and then you can spend the silver in the game. Or Bright Dust. Bright Dust is in-game currency that you acquire by breaking
stuff.
Yeah, by basically
breaking ships, breaking
deleting
sparrows,
things that you got from their in-game
Dismantling ships, dismantling sparrows, and other certain items as well.
Basically, anything you get from the in-game store, which you do get every time you level up, you get something from the store. And if you break that down, you get Bright Dust for it.
Yeah.
I have accumulated like 60,000 Bright Dust, and spending Bright Dust costs more than actually spending silver, but I've got enough to spare. I still haven't bought it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I will. I'm not going to be. It only applies to the armor that I've got. It's not going to apply. I don't know, actually. I think in one of their updates, they said that all cosmetics will work on all armor.
No, I wouldn't know.
Or all this flare stuff, whatever it is, will work on all armor.
I think I'm pretty satisfied with the armor I got now. I mean, I spent all this time tweaking and getting colors and schemes that I like. Now I'm pretty much good with what I got. I don't really want anything
else
on there for mine anyway.
Perfectly fine. I don't know. Cosmetics just never been a thing for me. So if it's back behind loot boxes, that's fine. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Other people, I guess, care. Well, it's like Moltal said. Some people are trapped by that because that's where whales come from. You're exactly right.
Yeah. That term came up a lot during all this all the loot box talk. Remember that?
Yeah.
Some process of catching, just catching whales.
Catching whales.
Yeah.
That's exactly what your free-to-play mechanics do on mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
You find a whale. Yeah. You know? It's the same. I think it works in casinos as well.
Mm-hmm.
You find people who just get addicted to it, and you feed on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jim Sterling does have a video about some of this, some of these topics as well. So we're at the bottom of the hour, a little bit over it. We're going to go and take a break and come right back. We're featuring the music of David Wise on this episode. I'll find another composer to talk about next week. But this week we're doing David Wise. He does a lot of rare titles. And I don't mean rare as in they're hard to find. There's a video game developer called Rare. He did Banjo-Kazooie, which is a rare title. So he also did the spiritual successor or whatever that is, Yooka-Laylee.
Okay.
Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair is from this one. And I can't remember the name of the track because there are other composers who worked on this game, but he did this track that we're playing for you now. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which is a game that David Wise did the music for. And that's who we're featuring. We've only got, I don't know, about 20 minutes left to... Hey, SDM Fuller just joined our Discord server.
Cool.
So, you'll need to jump over to the rules, accept them, and then you will be well on your way to being a member.
Speaking of just joining, you can do the chat room. Mm-hmm. Got a good amount of folks in there now.
Well, let me look at that. We can do a chat room roll call. Oh, look at that. We got Virgo Pros, VNK, STM Fuller, Steven Van Dam, S1 Faker, Moltile Lurks, Lethal Migraine, Evan 041111, Commander Roots, Arioka, Angel of Light, and AC Wraith in the chat room. So, hello everyone. And for those who are new, let me post the invite again to our Discord. This is the Destiny 2 clan Discord. If you're going to be playing Destiny 2, this is going to be the place for you. We may make a show one in there. We may make a text channel for the show. I mean, we have one right now. It's just so locked down that that I don't have control over getting you into it. We'll see. May make a chat place for you guys to talk about the show if you want to, if that's required or whatever. Mm-hmm. We basically wanted a place. Look, James made an in-game chat channel for Discord. And we used it for a while there to do Destiny when they were playing, but they stopped playing and it was just basically me. And I would run into people I was playing with through the LFG channel or whatever, and I was like, hey, come over, let's go over to this one. And so I would bring people in. Well, we brought enough people in that we just started talking Destiny in that one channel. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we kind of took that over and kind of ran over James for what he built that place for. And we started inviting more people, and I said, you know, we really need to. The more I looked at other clan discords,
yeah,
the more I realized we need a dedicated clan Discord for Destiny 2. It's what we talk about a lot. It's what we play most of all. So me and Random made this Discord. I mean, that guy works in IT admin, and even this was tough for us to figure out as far as how to make things automatic and do what we needed him to do. But we only needed him to do basic stuff for you to become a member. We didn't want people inviting other people and then them coming in and just ransacking the place. So once you come in, you can't do anything until you agree to the rules. Once you agree to the rules, it automatically sets your status as a member, where then all the channels and the voice channels and the text channels all open up for you so that you can participate. But and of course, you know, we're going to throw in some moderators and that sort of thing to kind of police the place as needed. But for the most part, we probably won't have that problem. It's probably going to be a small Discord. We've got a lot of people in the clan who are now playing, and we kind of want to get them invited over so that we have a place where we can all discuss these things and plan for raids and for other little things together. It's kind of why I wish you'd jump over to the PC. I wish you would come over to the PC and play. So I really wish you could, man.
Yeah.
I really, really wish you could.
Sounds like one of them come to the dark side moments or whatever.
It's not, though.
I know.
It's a good, it plays very well on PC, and you built a new PC anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, as far as the show, stuff to talk about with the show, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here next weekend, and then the weekend after that we won't be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be in Seattle for PAX.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of what I'm going to be looking forward to there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't set up anything as far as meetings or anything. Mm-hmm. I've RSVP'd for parties, basically. Which of that is only like two that I've RSVP'd for. So, mm-hmm. But I need to start getting my schedule down as far as like what I'm going to be seeing and what I'm going to be playing. I don't know. Is anybody listening going to be going to PAX? Should we have a meetup somewhere where I can meet you, say hello?
You're not going to be doing too much there. Head to that pinball thing.
Love pinball. And there's so many places to play in Seattle.
Yeah, so.
So many places to play pinball in Seattle. Lethal Migraine says, I wish you'd play anything else. So many better options than Bungie's Abomination. I have time. I'm just throwing out the Discord thing in there. I've been itching to throw on God of War. The problem is that every time I sit down to play, I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me knock out an episode of this thing I've been watching on Netflix or whatever. I finished up Glow last night. God, that is such a great show.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have you watched any of that?
I haven't watched it. I just remember watching the actual show when it came on Netflix. The wild feeds from the satellite dish that came on every now and then. I remember
watching that, dude. The first season's great. Second season's great. And third season's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, wonderful show.
Yeah.
And now the second season of Mindhunter came out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, I want to watch that too. Yeah. I don't know. I get distracted. It's exactly what happened when I sit down in front of my PC to play a different game. I'm like, yeah, I could be doing this in Destiny though. Yeah. And then I sit down in front of my TV on the bed and I'm like, I could be playing God of War, or I can knock out another episode of this.
I think what it is it's kind of the same issue that I have. I know that if I start this game,
I know it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to be a time. It's going to be a time sink playing this.
I really want to finish God of War.
God of War comes, but look, I haven't even started the game yet.
I know. I really want to finish.
And it. I know that if I start playing this game, it's going to be a time sink. God of War, Bloodstained, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. I just got those three. I know they're going to be time sinks. Detroit, Become Human. Mm-hmm. That's going to be. I know those are going to be time sinks. I still haven't finished Sekiro. That's going to be a time sink just, because of the difficulty going through it. And then. Throw the fact in that I have to. I'm really going to have to start over.
Yeah,
because too much stuff that I've missed.
There's the two Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah,
that I have that I could get into.
Mm-hmm.
I have Origins, which I really want to finish that because I played. I got a pretty good ways of that and started finding little things that connected to the whole Abstergo Abstergo first civilization stuff. Mm-hmm. And whatever else.
Yeah.
I started finding little connections there and I'm like, ooh, some depth to this. I really want to find, Origins is really good. I like the mm-hmm. setting and I like what they're doing, but my favorite part of Assassin's Creed has always been I remember in Assassin's Creed 2, you had to find these symbols. And whenever you found the symbols, it took you to this puzzle where you had to figure out where the apple was on the picture, or you had to mm-hmm. decrypt a phrase or something like that. Those were always my favorite parts.
Yeah, puzzle elements, yeah.
Okay. Some of the puzzle elements, yes. I also enjoyed just, making my way across the landscape and climbing the towers and doing all this. Mm-hmm. But any time it had a connection to the first civilization people and I can't remember, Jupiter and everybody else, I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I wanted more of
that. They got your interest, yeah.
So when I came across it in Origins, I thought, oh, thank God they haven't gotten rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I agree, Ariok. Okay, I should stop watching the TV shows and play games, especially God of War. When I told Nate last week where I was in God of War, he's like, ooh, you're not even halfway through. And I was like, I know. So I really want to get through that. There's a good story there that I want to experience.
Yeah, I'm going to have to force myself to play those games I just mentioned.
And there's puzzle elements to it that would be a lot of fun to play, and so I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I did finish up the shows last night, so, that may be in my future. Plus, tonight I'll go home and I'll start the rendering process on this, mm-hmm. and I'll have 2 hours where I can't use my computer. Well, never mind. Well, I just remembered. I'll use that time to cull the list of...
Called up the emails, yeah.
All the emails I've gotten for PAX stuff. So, mm-hmm. And maybe tomorrow. We'll see. Yeah. I tell you, I have no desire to play Destiny right now unless somebody needs help with something. Mm-hmm. If somebody goes into our new Discord and starts throwing out, like, I need help with this run, and I can help them, I might jump in and help.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of... It's the kind of group we are over there, is that we want to... we want to help people get through different runs or whatever they need. If they need help with a mission or a certain section of the game or whatever, we'd like to be able to, and we can do it, we'd like to be able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm going to have to force myself probably do, if I had to pick one to start, then it won't be too ridiculously long. Probably Bloodstained, I guess, would be something to start playing.
I want to get back to Red Dead Redemption as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because sometimes I miss riding my horse,
mm-hmm.
just through the area and just kind of enjoying the scenery and
exploring stuff.
Basically,
Didn't they say something about the online aspect having jobs?
I'm not touching the online aspect.
Well, yeah, because
so I haven't paid attention to any kind of online aspect news. I don't want to get to it.
I think they try to do some jobs or something. Bounty hunter.
They introduce new roles.
Bounty hunter, collector, and. Hunter. Hunter, I think, yeah. Because one of the things I thought about with Red Dead Redemption 2 online was that are you going to be able to get the variety that you could in GTA online?
Yeah.
Because, the advancements in technology, for one thing. I mean, how much can you actually do in the Old West other than train robbing? What type of businesses can you do except those three roles, really?
Yeah, and I haven't finished that story either. And there's plenty to go through. There's plenty to do while I'm not sinking my life into Destiny. And Destiny is not going to take up part of my life until obviously October, because that's how far they push back the new stuff. So I got lots of time to play a lot of stuff, and I also don't intend on playing Borderlands 3.
Not for a minute, anyway.
It'll be a while before I get to that. Yeah. So,
still, like I said, that was a definite wait and see. Because seeing how well, you know, a lot of folks are going to get it at launch, I know that. But like I said, I stated my issues with it. I'm just not, based on what happened with the pre-sequel, I just didn't have any characters that were interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters in 3, I've seen them all, and it's like nothing really stands out for me. Nothing hooks my interest. Then says, wow, I'd really like to play with this character and see what he or she is all about. I haven't seen that at all with this.
What do we have? I'm looking at news recently. Super Hot looks like it's coming to the Nintendo Switch.
I had fun with that one, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I think
that's
it works.
A time stop game, right?
I think it works better in probably VR. I never played it in VR. Well, I did play it in VR for like a demo thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The lead producer of the next Dragon Age game has left BioWare. Fernando Melo. Probably Mayo. I don't know. Milo. Fernando Milo is the second lead producer to leave the company in just as many days. He is the lead producer on BioWare's upcoming Dragon Age game. He has left the studio following the lead producer for Anthem, Ben Irving, who left.
That's right. I was remembering that. Somebody did leave something concerning Anthem. I remember that, yeah.
Wow.
Is that game officially dead now?
What?
Anthem.
Anthem? No. Still alive.
Okay.
I don't know that anybody's playing it, but yeah. He was a senior producer on Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2. He left the role to work on the online portion of Mass Effect Andromeda, and was later made lead producer on the next Dragon Age game. He said he wanted time to disconnect and explore a couple of ideas for the next chapter in my career. And today was his last day.
So Irvin left, and then he left, and then think this is going to start a trend for that studio?
It just doesn't seem like it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It does not seem like things are going good over at BioWare. Anthem was a flop. They're losing people left and right.
Yeah. Lethal Migraine says the creative director or something left 343 Studios as well.
You're exactly right. Yeah, the creative guy who had been with 343 for a while actually left over there. So no idea what is going down. It just seems like these games that are in perpetual development keep losing people left and right.
It's called developer hell for a reason.
It's just bad. So anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as listening on the stream and on the radio. We want to thank everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group there you can join up with and play games with us and other listeners. Also, I put the link to our Discord in there, but if you need it, just hit one of us up. You can find it. Maybe I'll put a link to our clan Discord on our website so you can find it there. But yeah, have a good one. The music here, again, we're going back to David Wise, who worked on a game that I played and actually kind of enjoyed, but couldn't. Easy to play, difficult to master type of thing, if you want to go in that direction. It's a game called Snake Pass. And the controls are very strange because you have to control a snake, and it's a little tough to figure out how to control a snake. What do they call them? Danger Noodle. So, he did Snake Pass. So anyway, have a good one. We will see you next Saturday. Thanks for listening.